Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Weeb Weekly. Your amazing crew is back at it again. We took a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back at it, giving you all the amazing news in pop culture. I am joined by two amazing individuals, Mizu and Travis. How are you guys? Let the people know how you're doing and also where they can find you.
Hey, I'm doing great. And guys, I'm Travis the Sibling. You can find me on TikTok and on Instagram at Travis the Sibling.
Okay, Mizu, how you doing, baby?
I am doing fantastic. You guys can find me on Instagram, Mizu Shogun, YouTube, Mizu Shogun, Twitter, Mizu the Shogun, because apparently it's already been taken. And yeah.
Man, these people are taking usernames left, right, and center.
Fun fact, right?
Bro, I actually tried to reach out to the people that had my username, and they never answered me. They never answered me on all the platforms. I was like, hey, I know I'd be willing to, like, you know, make a deal for, like, the username. Nope. They were like, see you later. Ghosted. Full on Gengar ghost type. Not great. But hey, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. And I think it would make sense, considering that there's a big release for the MCU this week, we talk about what happened over at Comic-Con. That was crazy. We had a big look at Marvel Phase 5 and Phase 6. What did you guys think about the announcements that we saw?
Honestly, I was excited because I knew something else was coming up, because everybody has been giving their overall opinions about Phase 4. And so far, it seems like a lot of people aren't a fan of Phase 4.
Okay.
And there were, of course, the one question we always got is, where is it going? Where is the direction? Where is it leading to? And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until they say something. And then they did. And they showed us where they were going. I'm like, fantastic. The lineup is insane. So far, the only thing I'm worried about, though, is that there's a lot of stuff. There's like a lot of stuff. And I don't know if even myself, a huge Marvel fan, is going to be able to keep up with all this.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Before you give your thoughts, Travis, I just wanted to let the people know exactly what's happening. In Phase 5, we have Quantumania coming in February of 2023. We have Secret Invasion also coming out in 2023. I believe they already have the official timeline for that, right? For Quantumania.
Yep. I'm looking at it right now too.
Okay, what's the release date for that one? You know that one?
Quantumania is February 17, 2023.
Okay.
Secret Invasion is Spring 2023.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is May 5th, 2023.
Okay.
The show Echo comes out summer of 2023.
Yeah.
Season 2 of Loki, summer of 2023.
Yep.
The Marvels, July 28th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Blade movie, and they confirmed that it's a movie, not a show, mm-hmm. November 3rd, 2023. The Ironheart show comes out fall of 2023. Agatha Harkness Covenant of Chaos comes out winter 2023, going into 2024. Daredevil Born Again comes out spring 2024. Captain America New World Order, May 3rd, 2024. And then ends Phase 5 with the Thunderbolts, July 26, 2024.
Woo-wee.
And that's Phase 5.
That's a lot of content. That is a lot of content. Just with the amount that we just heard, I think it's over, like, I think it's close to 10 projects, more than 10 projects, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 projects. Yep. So that's more than like Phase, like, 1 and Phase 2 had, like, when they were originally running. So, And we also have the things that are happening right now. So we have She-Hulk happening in a couple days. We also got the confirmation that we are getting some of the fan favorite castings coming back, both for Daredevil, not just for Daredevil and Charlie Cox. The entire cast of Daredevil is returning, confirmed.
Hey,
including Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin. So, Travis, what did you think about the lineup?
Amazing. Okay. Immaculate. 10 out of 10. Like, I'm so excited. First of all, I think I'm excited for the entire lineup, but the specific ones that have my heart in a chokehold, it's definitely Blade with Mahershala Ali.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can't wait to see what he does with this character. I love him as an actor. Like, he kills every role that he does. Even back in the days from House of Cards. And mm-hmm. I'm really excited for Ironheart. I want to see what they do with Ironheart. Wakanda Forever, we definitely need to talk about that trailer.
The trailer.
I know it's old news now, but oh my God. That is probably the greatest trailer I've ever seen. And lastly, for the ones that really got me, it's Loki season 2. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that are on, I guess, the fence with Loki. I've heard some backlash with Loki. The way it ended, I need to see season 2. I wish they were opening the phase with season 2 Loki. But yeah, I'm extremely excited about what they have going. Season 5, also phase 5 and also phase 6, like the two ending Avenger movies, like Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars. I can't wait to see what they have in store.
Hey, that is straight up facts. And just to give people a little bit of a perspective, right? Wakanda Forever finally tallied at 172 million views in the first 24 hours. So that is it literally makes it less it's in the top 5. It's officially in the top 5 of most viewed Marvel trailers of all time. So you have Spider-Man No Way Home, you have Avengers Endgame, Infinity War, and then you have Thor Love and Thunder, and then you have Wakanda Forever. It's been absolutely crazy, the outcry of support for this movie. And it almost had three times it nearly doubles the original Black Panther teaser trailer that we saw in 2017. So wow. A lot of people were excited about the people that cut that trailer deserve a raise.
Stat. Immediate.
Immediate raise. They were absolutely crazy with the soundtrack. That switch up
from
No Woman, No Cry to All Right. I'm like, oof. Missing Bob.
I'm going to tell you this real quick. I have never been more emotional for a trailer than after watching that. Because, of course, I mean, I don't, when you said the numbers, it makes sense to me because, you know, for the first one was amazing. And then, of course, you know, everything that's transpired, we're wondering what they're going to do with this. Like, okay, what are we going to do forward plot-wise and everything like that? And then the way they shot that, especially what you said with the No Woman, No Cry cover. Wow. Wow. And I was literally I was overwhelmed by it. And then, of course, seeing this new perspective on Namor. Namor, it got me, mind you, I knew Namor. And I was like, okay, he's okay to me. No offense, even though he came out before Aquaman, I always saw him as a watered-down version of Aquaman. He's he's the great value Aquaman, even though he's the OG.
Walmart Aquaman?
Walmart Aquaman. I'm like, hey, look, I get that he's original, but Aquaman is cooler.
Yeah.
And even though Aquaman stole his whole flow. But after seeing that trailer, I have never been excited. You know what? It made me look into more stuff about Namor. Like, okay, what can I learn more about Namor? What is his powers? What can he do? What is he about? Because in the way his aesthetic, the way he looks, I think in my personal, people are on the fence about it. Some people are like, oh, I wish it was more comic book accurate. But I'm honestly glad they changed it because it makes him stand out more.
Yep.
And it makes him more unique. And to me, I feel like, in my personal opinion, it does him more of a service than a disservice. Granted, that is just a trailer. We have no idea what they're doing in the movie. But so far, I like it. I like the whole aesthetic. I like what they're doing with that.
He looks like a whole Aztec warrior. It's truly amazing.
Yeah. I felt like it was a stroke of genius. And it gave me the feeling like they were trying to make Atlantis, where Namor's from, like El Dorado. Like, El Dorado's actually under. That was such a brilliant take on it. I'm so happy they went with that instead of, I've seen so many Namor costumes now. I'm so happy they went with this over the standard Namor costume.
Exactly. And plus, let's be honest here. I was bringing this up because some people are just like upset because for those who don't know, they confirmed that it's not going to be Atlantis. It's going to be called Talukan. And I'm sorry for the pronunciation. That's the name. Apparently, they found toys. You know, Hasbro toys came out. and they had an action figure of Namor. And on the back of it, it reads that Namor is the king of the underwater dwelling called Talukan.
Talukan, okay.
So I looked into it. I'm like, what on earth is that? So apparently, Talukan is a reference to a type of heaven that exists in Mayan mythology, where people who died from drowning or getting struck by lightning go to, and they live in this basically underwater like heaven thing. I was like, oh, that's kind of dope. And they're ruled by a water like serpent. And I'm like, serpent. And we see in the trailer, the man's wearing like a feathered serpent. Like the crown. We see, exactly. We see a mural of the serpent and everything. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So they're pretty much playing off of that mythology. And I'm for it. I'm definitely for it. And plus, like I was going to say, let's be honest. What's the difference between, there's only two differences between DC's Atlantis and Marvel's Atlantis. One, Marvel's Atlantis has blue Atlanteans, while DC has more variety, diverse Atlanteans. You got crab people, mermaids, all that kind of stuff. Well, like I said, Marvel only has blue Atlanteans. And the second one, the second reason I'm trying to remember, dang, there was another thing that I would say in their history. Their history is different. DC, their history, how they Atlantis came to be, is more vague. It's like, oh yeah, we came here, but after that, things got a little different, unless you go by Young Justice, because they did their own little history behind Atlantis. But Marvel, it's more a little bit more specific, like, okay, yeah, this happened and this happened and this happened. Still a little bit more vague, but not as vague as DC's. And that's it. And look, I'll give y'all a challenge. Google Marvel Atlantis and Google DC Atlantis. I'm being frank with you. You don't see a difference between the two. They look the same. It's an underwater sci-fi city. And the comic book strengths look the same. So I cannot stress it enough. This change, in my opinion, was needed, because now it actually shows a difference. Because a lot of people are wondering, did Marvel do this because they want to be different from Aquaman, from the successful Jason Momoa Aquaman? And honestly, I don't blame them, because it makes a lot of sense. Since like I said, the Atlantis are the same. Aquaman and Namor are pretty much the same. They have the same backstory almost. If anything, yeah, like I said, they copied each other. So they're pretty much the same person, with the exception of, I'll say the only thing Namor, the only difference between Namor is that he's more anti-hero in a way. Like he really pushes the term anti-hero. You know, Aquaman, he'd be like, oh yeah, I care for Atlantis, but I'll go help you guys out a little bit. Namor's just like, I care for Atlantis. I'm only doing this if it benefits Atlantis or myself at the end of the day. So
it's like a more hardcore T'Challa, because T'Challa, we know Wakandans don't play when it comes to
exactly. And I'm wondering how, my biggest question though is, I wonder how this beef is going to start. Is it always been there? Is it something that's going to happen? Or, you know, the popular theory is that there's a third party involved that's making them fight each other.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be like a misunderstanding that's happened by a third party.
I feel that. And speaking of, like, we saw, now that you mentioned the serpent, we did get to see the Quetzalcoatl in Thor: Love and Thunder, like the Aztec god. So I was like, I'm excited to see how they are trying to intertwine all of these properties together. And Black Panther is a big part of that. The other big part is obviously like Phase 6. We're going to have two Avengers movies in 1 year. That's going to be a little bit of crazy. I think we forgot another show. Yeah, the X-Men 97 series is supposed to come out in 2023 as well. And that's the one that I'm most excited for, actually.
Wow, yes. Really?
It's the return of one of the most, I think, iconic soundtracks of all time.
Absolutely. They've been teasing it this entire time, too.
Bro, they've been teasing it for a while, and I think it'll be a great way to introduce the X-Men's... I don't know if they're going to connect it to the MCU. I hope they just keep it as a sequel series of what happened in the 90s. I don't want it to be like super intertwined. Like, for example, I know that they're trying to do stuff with like Marvel Zombies and Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is technically supposed to be canon, then it's not canon. Like, all that stuff, you can leave it sideways. Like, I want the X-Men 97 series to bring back the hype that we had being there on a Saturday and just enjoying a couple of anthology stories around our favorite characters. It just felt good. It felt good. It doesn't necessarily have to be a connected series. If we saw something on Disney Plus that did so successfully, it was Star Wars Visions. It doesn't have to be connected to the overall story of the entire movie universe. You can just have that. But we also have the Kang Dynasty, and we have Secret Wars. It's finally been confirmed. We are getting Secret Wars. We don't know who's going to direct it. All we know is that people are definitely going to bite the dust.
For real. Especially because I'm pretty sure they're going to be going off of the 2015 comic Secret Wars, because Secret Wars happened twice back in like the 80s and then later in 2015. But the 2015 one is actually more famous than the 80s one. And I'm pretty sure if they are going to go with that storyline, and if they do, all it means to me is Doctor that we're getting Doctor Doom. Hopefully. Doctor Doom. I'm praying. I am literally praying. Please give us Doctor Doom.
Wait, Doctor Doom was in Secret Wars.
Yes, the main story.
Doctor Doom's the main antagonist of Secret Wars.
Oh, you know, I knew. I've always heard the words Secret Wars. I never knew anything about the comics or anything. Wow, did you guys hear about any casting rumors for Doctor Doom? I think the guy from Breaking Bad said that he wanted to be Doctor Doom.
Go.
Oh, you can go, Jose.
Okay, I was going to say that, like, obviously, like, there's been lots of fan castings, and Giancarlo Esposito did come out and say that he's interested in either, like, Professor X, Doctor Doom, whoever. But there's been a lot of people saying that, like, obviously, with the current trend and trying to go as accurate as possible with, like, castings and stuff like that, and it can't deviate from what the comic books tried to do, even though we've known that it's worked so far, they want it to be a Romani actor. And that makes sense, because he is Dr. Doom is Romani. But what is plaguing the internet the most is, how do you introduce Dr. Doom? Because the Fantastic Four still don't have their movie. Like, I believe the movie is coming out when?
Phase 6. They also announced
Phase 6, right? Four.
Yeah.
Yep, it's the beginning of Phase 6.
Well, yeah, so we have the Fantastic Four, which has to be introduced. I'm guessing they'll lay the seeds for that there. But we also have, for example, we're racing towards Kang Dynasty, and this is the first time that we're going to see, like, the full conqueror Kang in Quantumania. Jonathan Majors looks jacked for that. Yeah. So I don't think Ant-Man's going to make it out alive. I mean,
I know. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, dang, out of all the people Kang is fighting, Ant-Man just didn't luck out right now. Like, I mean, Ant-Man's cool, but, like, I'm wondering how he's going to get himself out of this. A man who can completely control all time in the multiverse, not just time in one timeline. All of multiversal time is at this man's hands.
As long as this man doesn't pull out, like, a Flash cop-out style Speed Force assist, I'll be fine, okay? But it's set to be a huge connected storyline, and it doesn't seem to stop anytime soon. We have that, and then we have Secret Wars. The thing is, I've been trying to delve myself. I got the, like, Marvel Unlimited thing where you can, like, read comics. Oh,
that's awesome.
There is so much that happens during Secret Wars and following Secret Wars. So, for example, the main thing that stuck out to me is that I was reading Ghost Rider comics. Travis, without giving too much away, essentially what Secret Wars is the multiverse is collapsing in on itself, right? And then, at least in the Secret Wars comic book, you have the Ultimates universe, which is where Miles is from. Technically, Jane Foster is technically from there, I believe. Basically, Earth 616 and Earth 1090 whatever, or something like that.
1610.
Yeah, 1610. They're colliding on each other. And then basically, Dr. Doom says, all right, bet, we're all going to settle this in Battle World, where we have, like, a huge-ass battle, and, like, whoever wins, their universe survives. And, like, that's going to be, like, the main timeline. So it's literally just like a mashup of everybody just fighting against each other to try to stop. Well, not stop, but just, like, have their universe survive, because Dr. Doom is just that dude.
So and it's then, like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like the Hunger Games. It's like the Hunger Games, but with like the Marvel Universe.
But the part I also like about it, though, is that it doesn't necessarily make Dr. Doom a villain, because something else happened, why those, those universes were being destroyed. And what he did with his new godlike power that he gets is that he takes bits and pieces of remaining universes and combines them into one and calls it Battle World, where basically all these survivors of different universes, kind of like what happened to Black Widow and What If, in a way, and they all live in this world that he created where he is God King.
Yeah, God King Doom. And then you have, like, the big thing with the Ghost Rider that I was talking about is that, like, they're, like, all of the Ghost Riders are, like, are at an arena called, the like, they're the Hellraisers. And you have all of them, like, Robbie Reyes, Johnny Blaze, all of them are there. And, like, I'm like, bro, there's so many characters you still have to introduce, which you haven't, like, you haven't announced anything for yet. Like, it's getting to the point that there's so much content that you have to cover before Secret Wars. I think, like, honestly, Secret Wars could be a two-part or even a three-part movie. Like,
here's the thing I think, though. Because one thing I noticed, that they made Secret Wars. Secret Wars is after King Dynasty.
Yeah.
Which means that it will be, I don't know how many other movies are going to be in here, but going off of what we have gotten, that might be maybe the last movie we get in on Phase 6.
Yeah.
I think that the, like, kind of like Endgame, the events of, you know, Secret Wars are going to play out in the next phase.
Yeah.
And who knows? They might, like, this, I doubt they would do this, but it would be a bold move if they showed us if like how Thanos won, but like Dr. Doom won, and he's still in charge. He wins, and we see what the world is like under his control.
Dude, Dr. Doom could be the next Darth Vader. I'm not even going to cap. Like, here's if they play it right,
exactly. Yes. I would argue that Dr. Doom is more of a threat than, you know, Thanos was. He's a more of a threat than Galactus, because there are times where he's even beaten Galactus. This, to me, I think that Dr. Doom is like the final boss.
Mm-hmm.
he has wiped the floor with Thanos. He's wiped the floor with Galactus. He's tricked, like, he's done all kinds of things. He's tricked Reed Richards, the smartest man alive. He's done all kinds of things. So to me, he's the ultimate threat, to the point where there are even other villains who don't mess with him. Magneto is afraid of him.
Yeah.
But isn't his whole thing made of metal?
Dude, he learns to be a sorcerer. He's like, he learns dark magic. He goes back in time. He's ridiculous.
Imagine that. Like, imagine the intelligence of Reed Richards with the magic of Doctor Strange.
Yep.
And the technology and know-how like Iron Man.
It's legit. He is that dude.
Oh, okay. Question.
Side note, I want to say, since you mentioned Ghost Rider, it's so weirdly convenient that you said that, and coincidental, because so far the past couple of days I've been watching Ghost Rider content.
Nice.
Getting into stuff, because I noticed that Hulu has the Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider. Yeah. I was like, oh, why not? Why not watch the? It was there, but let me get another watch.
Yep.
And I was like, maybe get into more Ghost Rider stuff. But yeah, because one of the movies that I definitely want to see in the future, if they ever do it, is a Ghost Rider movie. A new MC, like, Ghost Rider. That would be amazing.
Not only that, before we get to Travis's thing, is that, like, the fact that Johnny Blaze was teased in the trailer for She-Hulk. Like, in one of the back, like, people, like, paused it so many times, and, like, it's ridiculous, like, how viral it went on Twitter. Like, there's a scene in the She-Hulk trailer where, like, there's a poster for an announcing, like, an event or whatever, and it's one of Johnny Blaze's events, like him just doing the whole motorcycle events. It literally says it. You can't make out who the actor is. It's just like a blank, like, face, and it just says Johnny Blaze.
Here's the thing: as much as I want that, I bet she's gonna be one of those fake outs. I bet she's gonna be one of those. Oh, it wasn't actually Johnny. You really thought he was gonna possibly even. In here, it's going to be the whole WandaVision thing all over again. I'm assuming. I could be wrong.
I get that. I like that. But I think the big thing for me is that, like, I want the Ghost Rider so much. Not because, like, people are saying, like, oh, Ghost Rider is the only person that can go against Wanda. The only reason I want the Ghost Rider is because I want the Midnight Suns, okay? I want Blade, I want the Punisher, I want Moon Knight, and I want the Ghost Rider to be fighting werewolves and shit. I want a horror franchise with the Ghost Rider, okay?
Especially,
I need that.
With the fact that almost, and the part I love the most about the Midnight Suns is that, with the exception of No. We could say Moon Knight. Almost all of them are like loners. They were all originally loners, with the exception of Doctor Strange. Blade does things on his own. Moon Knight does things on his own. Ghost Rider does things on his own. And you got all these loner dudes. You know what? We're going to come together and take out all these magical threats. But yeah, Ghost Rider would be cool. Like, I've been wondering, like, how could they introduce Ghost Rider in there? Because I'm thinking that they could. I'm down for either one, either Johnny Blaze or Robbie Reyes. I think both could work. Oof. And to me, I see Ghost Rider, especially with Johnny Blaze, I see him as like a modern cowboy kind of type. Like he's mostly in the West, Midwest, West.
Or California, yeah.
California, New Mexico, Arizona. He's in that general like area where he just travels around and stops demonic threats that happen to be where he is. Yeah. And they better make him country. They better make, if they do Johnny Blaze, he has to be a country boy. He has to be from, he has to be from the West, or I think he's originally from Texas, but he has to be there. Cause I'm getting sick and tired of seeing New York.
Dude, New York is like the epicenter of bullshit, bro. I've been debating this with a couple of friends. I want Norman Reedus to play the Ghost Rider so bad. Either him or Keanu. It's either him or Keanu. I know Keanu doesn't want to, like, I mean, he's I think he's already 60 at this point, but Norman Reedus has proven himself on The Walking Dead. I want him to be the Ghost Rider. He'd be great.
Same. And he actually wants to be the Ghost Rider too, so
he likes and retweets posts and fan art on Twitter of him as the Ghost Rider. He's like liking and retweeting it. I'm like, bro, you are not making this easy on people, okay? Everything you do just makes us theorize a little bit more.
Hey, if they're willing to, I think it's possible, because if they're willing to get John Krasinski to play Mr. Fantastic, who knows? They might get my man Reedus to do it.
Did you guys like Krasinski's portrayal of Reed Richards? Were you guys fans?
I am going to place a little bit of the, if we were to do like buying or selling, I would say slight sell because of the actual script. I don't think he was bad. I think that like the big thing with Reed Richards is that like he's supposed to be like even smarter than Iron Man, right? Like Tony would have never told Wanda about their greatest asset's weakness right in front of her. And I get that the importance is that like Reed is so self-absorbed and so selfish and so what's it called, the hubris is the personification of Reed Richards, right? But this is another version of Reed Richards. He's been like completely set on like saving the multiverse. Like he didn't show any signs of being like, for example, what we were expecting the superior Iron Man to be. Like we were expecting Tom Cruise to be like the douchey version of Iron Man that we know from the comics. And then we got a different version with Reed Richards' performance with John Krasinski, but it's still rubbed people the wrong way, and people were like, no, I don't want him. I know there's like people on the fence. I think it's worth to give him another shot.
I definitely agree with you on that one. I think he deserves another shot because like his role was not big enough for me to be like, okay, this is definitively, I can see him being Reed Richards kind of way. And I think one of my things I was worried about with him is that though I love John Krasinski, I feel like he's too cool to be Reed Richards. Reed Richards is, yes, self-absorbed, but like he is a nerd through and through. This man is a geek to the point where he's so caught up in his studies that he doesn't care about his own children. That's to the point when he said that line, hey, I get it, I have children of my own. I was like, Reed, you don't care about your own children. You were literally trying to stop. You literally tried to cage your own kids because he was too powerful and stuff like that. So I'm like, I don't know about this Reed Richards. But again, he only had a small part to play. But I'll definitely give him another chance to see what he can pull off, because John Krasinski is a great actor, and he could play off a nerdy type guy who is to himself, doesn't pay really attention to people, and only cares about his tight knit group. You know, Susan, the Thing, and Johnny, and that's it.
No, Frank.
So would you guys want to see John Krasinski in the new Fantastic Four movie?
I want it.
I felt the hesitation. You're like,
I watched this video of someone talking about it, and they brought other people up, and I'm just like, not gonna lie, I would definitely want to see these other people give it a chance, though. I can't. I just been watching. I've seen the video, but I just, I would give you guys a link to it. But I was like, those people could be interesting. Reed Richards. I can see it a lot more, but I'll give them a chance, though.
I mean, speaking of the Fantastic Four, the first one could be Jason Segel as the Thing in She-Hulk. There's been rumors that he's been cast as the Thing, like the human version. I always forget the name, his like alter ego name. But yes,
Ben Grimm.
Yes, Ben Grimm. So like Jason Segel as the Thing. I don't know how I feel about that, but if they have a plan, I'd rather just have them play it out. I'm through trying to like rate things or hype things up before they release, because I've been hit so hard. The only film in the past few like months that has completely shattered all of expectations, the only couple of films were The Batman, Top Gun Maverick, and then Prey. Those were the only movies that like I was hyped to see them, and they delivered, and they outdid my expectations. Everything else has been like crazy all over the board. So
I can kind of see him playing the Thing. I hope he pulls off the Boston accent, because Thing is known Boston accent. And he's also hopefully, it says on here he's also Jewish, and that's a big thing, because the Thing is also Jewish. And a lot of people have been, there's been a small group of people who have been very vocal about how they are erasing, you know, the Jewish culture and the Jewish background of some characters.
Yeah.
So, and especially with the whole not getting actors who are of Jewish background, kind of like you brought with the whole Dr. Doom thing. So it says like he's Jewish. So I think that's also a plus too.
I don't know.
I could see Jason Segel doing it. I think that he'd be able to bring a good level of drama to the character. And also a slight level of levity or a comedy, but in the right way. I feel like Jason Segel's a damn good actor. So that's someone who I would give a chance to. Like, I wouldn't entirely write him off.
I feel that on the bottom of my heart. But I think that's mostly of what that, I think we've covered most of what we're going to get in Phase 6, right?
Yeah, that's all we're gonna get so far in Phase 6. Who was it? They also confirmed that Daniel Cretton was gonna be directing for Kang the Conqueror, Kang Dynasty.
Oh, yes, the Shang-Chi director.
Yes,
the Shang-Chi director is gonna direct Kang. So we're gonna have great action scene. Great action is gonna be the name of the game for this bad boy. So I'm excited for that.
Facts. And they also, I don't know if it's 100% true, but they said that the actor who plays Homelander is being looked at in the MCU. Some people speculate that...
Tony Star.
Oh, no. Like, so apparently that and apparently he might be playing Dracula or...
in Blade.
What's his name? Dracula or... What's his name? Deacon in Blade. The person who made Blade a vampire.
Yeah. That would be nice. I love the boys, so that's a huge buy for me. Anthony Starr is he deserves that.
I can see him playing both, but I think it'll be very amazing if he played Deacon, the man who made Blade a vampire, the one he's hunting down who pretty much killed his mom, and this dude had the audacity like, oh yeah, I remember your mom. Like, so if you think about it, I'm kind of your father, and Blade's like, son of a bitch.
Listen,
I can see him doing that. I can see him playing that role and being an asshole.
All I want is a Wesley Snipes cameo.
Facts.
He doesn't have to suit up. He just has to be in the movie. Have him be his mentor. Have him be his whatever. But like, Wesley Snipes has to be there. I mean, he's partially he is a quintessential part of superhero movie history. Like, it's literally him and Tobey Maguire that started. Well, and the X-Men that started all of this back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, it's literally them. So,
I'm going to just say that. To the point where some people didn't even believe that Blade wasn't even part of Marvel when they saw it. They're like, what? Blade's a Marvel hero?
Yeah. And he was awesome, too. I think we covered most of it. Do you guys have anything else that you'd like to cover from the Marvel slate that, like, caught your eye? Any castings?
Now, the one of the series that I could be wrong on, but I'm not I'm honestly don't know. I don't really have any real feeling about it. And if I could take one out, it would probably be Agatha, Covenant of Chaos. Like, okay. Don't get me wrong. Agatha was a great character, but I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think she needs a show. If it's like shorts or something like that, yes, I can see her being that kind of like that character that shows up ever so often in certain movies and TV shows, just in the background, because that's kind of what Agatha is in the comics. He's just a character, a magical character who exists and is used depending on what the situation may bring. But to give her her own show, I don't know. I just don't know what can you do with that. But again, you know, Marvel, MCU has been doing interesting things with characters so far. So I could be wrong, but so far that's the only one I'm just like, why is this here? And I'll even say on Spider-Man freshman year as well. Freshman year, especially if it was canon, like, I mean, I'm one of those people in those camps where it's just like, do we really need to see Spider-Man become Spider-Man again? Kind of like Batman. Do we need to see Martha and Thomas Wayne die to get why Batman does what he does? Which is why a lot of people like the Batman, because they skip that entire part because we consensus-wise know that. So with Spider-Man freshman year, I was thinking the same thing. Like, yes, I get that it was frustrating for them not to bring up the importance of Uncle Ben in the MCU. But do you want to see him die again in this whole thing? But I will say it's now piqued my interest because, you know, again, it's animated. And then there's some characters that they confirmed, which now people are questioning the, like, is it a canon show or not? Because it looks like they're already introducing Doc Ock, Norman Osborn, Harry Osborn, all these other characters. And mind you, this is pre-Civil War. This is before Civil War timeline. And it's like, huh, so how does that pan out? How does that work? Is this canon? If it is canon, you're going to have to do a lot of explaining because it looks like there's a scene that they show us where, you know, that scene where Iron Man meets Aunt May and they're talking. In the scene, it showed Norman Osborn talking to her instead. So I'm thinking this might be maybe a what if, but if this is what it is, like if it is canonized, then they're going to have to explain that. They're going to have to explain a lot of that. And another thing I want to go on record and say this, because I've been talking my wife's ear off about this. I always tell my wife, like, you know what? Wouldn't it be interesting if they made Norman Osborn, like, black? Like, if they made him black and Harry Osborn was also black? I was like, yeah, that's just a wild thought. Why'd they do it? I was like, I thought I just made that up. I was kidding. Holy crap. And it's very interesting. I can't wait to see what they do with that. But that's my only big thing with that.
Okay, that makes a ton of sense. And there's a lot of different like points of view on all that. So let's hope that we get some official announcements. See where that can take us. Right? Travis, you were gonna say something, right? Is there something that you are like really looking forward to on the Marvel side?
I'm looking forward to the entirety of it, truthfully. But again, like the stickouts are Loki and Blade for sure. I am interested in Agatha just to see what they do, but I also wanted to really focus on the Thunderbolts. You guys are comic book guys. What on earth is the Thunderbolts?
Well, I'll just give you a small summary and then he can go more in detail. Pretty much the Thunderbolts are the Marvel's version of the Suicide Squad, but you can go more in detail, Jose.
I mean, you can go through it. I'm researching some other things right now because there's something we have to talk about very soon. So you can keep talking about the Thunderbolts.
Yeah, so they're pretty much Marvel's take on the Suicide Squad. But I think the difference is like they were started. The reason they're called Thunderbolts is after Thunderbolt Ross, because he's the one who puts the team together, and it consists of, you know, villains of different rose galleries coming together to, you know, fight on the side of good. But the one thing I will say that makes the Thunderbolts just a little bit different than Suicide Squad is that, you know, the Suicide Squad, they have no other choice but to do what they do because, you know, Amanda Waller doesn't play. She is on them 25-8. And they as much as they hate it, they can't get around her. They have to do it. While the Thunderbolts, I would say, they stick to their evil guts. And they'll do some things here. but they'll be doing some underhanded stuff. I think there was one point where the Thunderbolts actually took over and outwitted or like took down Thunderbolt Ross, and they were their own thing. I think one of their most iconic moments, I believe, is that because it consists of Baron Zemo, Abomination, Ghost Rider.
There's multiple different versions. So like, there's ones with like Deadpool and Elektra with the Punisher, and then Agent Venom, which is what the dude from Spider-Man No Way Home is supposed to be. You also have the Red Leader. I think they have other ones. Let me double check. They have ones with Baron Zemo, Meteorite, Zongbird. So like it changes around. It has a revolving door of members, kind of like the Suicide Squad.
So and their leader, kind of similar to what Suicide Squad was, like they had what was his name? Rick Flag. For them, it's U.S. Agent.
Yeah.
Which we saw, you know, they confirmed that he at the end of Captain America, Winter Soldier, and all this stuff. They confirmed that U.S. Agent is there, and we see an Abomination. We got Baron Zemo. We're just missing other members of the gang right now. And
Hawkeye's been there too. Hawkeye's been there too, and Bucky as well.
Oh, really? So, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But so far, yeah, that's pretty much it. But I think the most iconic story I can think of is where they pretended, especially it was Baron Zemo's idea, where they pretended, they got out of their situation, pretended to be new heroes who were trying to outclass the Avengers. Yep. And while they're trying to take them out, I said, okay, if we can't beat them, might as well join them in the way. But like, oh, we're gonna be more, better heroes. We're gonna be more famous than you guys, to the point where the whole public turns against you guys, and then we are the new heroes of the whole thing. And then while that's happening, when people lost faith in y'all, we'll take y'all out. But the part that I guess Baron Zemo didn't see coming was that some of the people, and the part I like about the Thunderbolts as well, is that some of them actually changed. They're like, you know what? No, I like being a hero. I think we need to stay. We need to be stopped. And Baron Zemo was just like, well, what the hell? Like, I thought that was our plan, and why didn't you do that? But yeah, I think that's pretty much the gist of them. I mean, I'm not too well in knowledge about the Thunderbolts, but that's what I know, is that they're version of Suicide Squad, but they stick to being evil a little bit more than the Suicide Squad. And plus, we see the setup with what's her name? I keep getting her name wrong, but Madame Hydra, we see her in the TV shows so far. We saw her in Black Widow, at the end of Black Widow, because it looks like she's recruiting our new Black Widow to be a part of it. So far, our lineup, we're assuming, is going to be Baron Zemo, U.S. Agent, Abomination from when we get to see in She-Hulk, new Black Widow, and whoever the new people might be.
Ghost Rider. Let's hope for
it. If they got Ghost Rider in that. Or Robbie Reyes' Ghost Rider, specifically. Yeah. That would be.
I like that.
I'm talking to you guys. I'm just intrigued about a new Ghost Rider. I'm scared and intrigued because it's the same thing that I have with Fantastic Four. Every Fantastic Four movie has not been good. And I've just lost out hope that Fantastic Four would be done well. Even though Marvel has been crushing it, I don't know if they're going to bring it home with this. At the same time, I feel the same way with Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider... You know, hey, everybody who's on that movie, they tried. I respect you guys. But I don't know if it could be done. I don't know. So
here's the thing. I'll say that. I agree with you because Ghost Rider is a fantastic character. I think one of the biggest problems when you use a more like obscure character like that is villains. Because think about it. Ask yourself this question. Name an iconic Ghost Rider villain. Who is Ghost Rider's Joker to his Batman, Green Goblin to his Spider-Man?
It's just Mephisto.
Apparently, this guy named Blackheart. But do you even know who that is? So that's my whole problem. That's why I was like, oh, yeah, I would love to see a Ghost Rider movie. But then I was thinking to myself, like, villain-wise, and granted, the MCU has done a good job at taking obscure villains or villains we haven't heard of and then bring them to the forefront and do something different with them. So that could be a good thing. But I'm saying overall, Ghost Rider does not have any really iconic villains. So we just got to see. We just got to see what they're going to do. That's
okay. You know, another thing, really quick. I didn't see anything about Moon Knight, like, anywhere. And that was interesting.
Oh, so apparently, I was thinking the same thing too, but apparently somebody on TikTok, I don't know if that was someone related to her or not, she was just like, oh, hey, are you guys working on a season two? And it showed the producer of it, or the director, I believe, he said, wait, of Moon Knight? And out of nowhere, here comes Oscar Isaac saying, why else will we be in Cairo?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was the daughter. I think it was the daughter of the director or the producer that was like, "Hey, why? What are we doing in Egypt?" I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Well, what else would we be doing in Cairo?" And I'm like, okay, thank you.
Okay, so we don't know if that's official confirmation or not. Or I feel like they wouldn't have done that in Marvel, because you know how Kevin Feige is. He's just like, "Hey, shut up."
We also had an actor confirm Eternals 2 directed by Chloe Zhao in literally like first take or something like that, like on an ESPN show. It was like, oh yeah, we're gonna have Eternals with Chloe Zhao and Eternals 2 with Chloe Zhao. That's gonna be fun. And people were like, that wasn't at Comic-Con. I think you just fucking spoiled that for everybody. And it was like, oh, Kevin Feige's secret agents are gonna be eating good today.
That's I can imagine that meeting. Okay, y'all gonna have the same talks what Tom Holland had. Gosh.
But Tom Holland's like, yes, blink twice if
you need help. It's not me this time.
Yeah, blink twice if you need help, Tom. Okay, we love you. All right, I think we've covered basically all of the Marvel stuff happening. There are some other big things happening very, very soon, especially since we're entering the fall. Number one, I think on everybody's mind, Chainsaw Man. That thing is popping very, very quickly. I still don't know. I think we already have the voice cast in Japanese. We don't have the confirmed voice cast in the dub. We know it's coming out in fall 2022. I've personally read like the first 5 volumes, and I am already hooked. I want Chainsaw Man in my life very, very quickly. And it's probably one of the most anticipated anime adaptations in a while. So how do you guys feel about that?
So excited. I'm so excited. It looks like, all right, so my thing is, it's a mixed bag, because visually it looks striking. It looks like they put their arm and elbow like all into the animation for this, and I'm excited to see certain scenes get animated, because I've read a lot of the manga. At the same time, I'm not a fan service guy, and okay, Chainsaw Man's very heavy on the fan service. So we're going to be getting a lot of detailed, gross. There's something super gross that happens early Chainsaw Man.
Yeah.
Excited to see that get animated. But overall, I think it's going to be contender for Anime of the Year. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it, despite the fan service and everything else.
When I saw it, what you're talking about, I was like, ooh, this is crazy shit. But some people are going to have a fun time. I know people love kinky stuff. So I'm like, oh, hey, you do you, bro.
No, you better keep that to yourself. Hey, you better keep that to yourself. You better not go on the internet and say, oh, yeah, did you just see that scene? It was so amazing. I'm like, no, that's a red flag for me. But no, I'm excited for it. And to me, I'm not going to lie, Chainsaw Man kind of baffles me how popular it is because of how dark it is. Because, you know, it's kind of different from, you know, your Shonen Jump norm compared to, you know, even like Naruto, Bleach, One Piece, My Hero, Jujutsu Kaisen. I mean, I'll give you Jujutsu Kaisen because Jujutsu Kaisen is pretty dark. Yeah. But yeah, it's just like we're seeing this new like wave of like darker manga coming into the scene, with the exception of, you know, Spy Family. But yeah, it's just crazy how the Chainsaw Man is like got up there in popularity, especially with the subject matter, and no spoilers, but especially how it ends and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, this is the one that this was number one for a long time right now. Like, gosh, what, our audience has changed so far. And now it's getting an animated, now it's getting an anime. I'm excited for it, but it all works out. I mean, it's a great story. So yeah, being a manga reader, this is gonna be another one where I'm a manga reader again, and now seeing it animated, and I wonder how the anime onlys are going to be reacting to this.
I'm excited. I'm gonna just leave it at that. The thing is, I have a thing where, like, I really, really, really like the secondary characters in the anime and manga that I read. So, like, whenever I saw, like, Power and then Aki, I was like, bro, this is gonna be so fun to see, like, the dynamic between them, and especially because Denji's such a dumbass and just, like, falls victim to everything that just pops into his brain.
The power system is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
The devil thing is just so cool. I'm just like, yo, this seems so awesome. To a point where I've had, like, once it comes out, I have this draft in my TikTok of me explaining the power system of it. And I made it, like, almost 2 years ago. But I was just like, you know what? I'm going to wait until it gets an anime. And when I heard it was getting an anime, I'm like, oh, yeah, bet.
I'm holding this one.
But once it releases and everybody's on that hype for it, I'm like, I'm posting that video. I've been waiting to post this video for a long time now.
I'm excited for it. So we know that, like, the anime itself is coming out sometime this fall. I believe it's I don't know if it's gonna take all of the 11 volumes that are currently out. But, like, it's basically gonna cover most of the first arc, I think. Right, because there's 11 volumes in arc, the first arc that went on from, like, 2018 to 2020, I think, or 2022. But essentially, that's what we're getting in the first season. So hopefully, it's a success. I'm very excited. Another very popular anime coming out on fall that has the entire internet in a flurry. I think it's about time that we cover it. Bleach, the Thousand Year War arc, is officially coming out. And everybody is in disarray. The entire internet is in a flurry because there's lots of rumors. Specifically, the most important rumor that Disney Plus might be purchasing the streaming rights for the Thousand Year Blood War arc. So that started, I did some research, and Crunchyroll officially confirmed that it will not be having the streaming rights, which had people in a question mark frenzy, because Viz Media, the people that, like, are basically producing, they don't have their own streaming channel. They own the rights to Bleach, and they're like, okay, somebody's gonna get the rights. And from the past couple of years, what we've seen, it's that either Hulu, Crunchyroll, that I think Crunchyroll bought Funimation, right? So Crunchyroll/Funimation, Hulu, Netflix. And now Disney Plus might be a big player in anime. So there were lots of memes coming out. People say, hello, my name is Ichigo Kurosaki, and you're watching Disney Channel. That had me in a frenzy. I don't know how I feel about this. Only because, as the streaming rights holder, I think they can change the voice lines, or, like, bleep stuff out, or, like, censorship based on the voice lines, but I don't think they have the rights or the capabilities of censoring the animes and the actual animation. So if it does stream on Disney Plus, it will be exactly what the mangaka wanted. So okay. I don't know how y'all feel about the whole thing. So let me know.
So the one thing I heard as well is that, you know, how overseas, you know, the lineup and setup for streaming platforms are different. Like, there are some shows and TV, things like that, we don't get here in the States. And some people think that if it is true that Disney Plus is buying the streaming rights to the Thousand Year Blood War arc, I think it'll be more of a specifically a Japan thing. Like, oh, yeah, we're streaming this in Japan, but maybe not in the States. But, like, this is specifically a Japan thing we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that, or, like, are they 100% true on that? So I think that was the thing that I'm worried about is, yeah, censorship. Are they going to censor things? Are they going to censor the stuff they say and do? And which I just felt like, come on, guys. Like, and to me, that's my one biggest gripe about Disney, is that y'all trying to be the biggest, you know, media platform all, and trying to get you're trying to dip your toes in everything, while still trying to be kid-friendly. I'm like, I don't think you can do that. I mean, they're trying, but I don't think it always works. Like, you got to make some things, you know, be what it is. So that's why everybody got nervous when they had Deadpool. Deadpool 2, and the possibility that they weren't going to be on Disney Plus. Granted, they are on Disney Plus, including Logan, and showing that, okay, they're willing to have this stuff on here. For adults, no strings attached. It's there in its purest form. Cool. So, I mean, that's one step in the right direction, but we don't know. But, hey, I'm my only biggest thing is worried about censorship and, you know, also the possibility of, you know, trying to get more people to get a Disney Plus subscription. Like, if you're a Bleach fan, you need to get yourself a Disney Plus account if you want to watch the rest of Bleach. Or who knows, if you're new to Bleach, you got to get a Disney Plus account to watch Bleach. So, but the one other thing I would say is interesting, though, it does bring up the fact that Disney is looking into anime. They know that there's an audience for it. They know that there are people who are willing to watch it. They did, you know, they dabbled in it with Star Wars Visions, which was pretty cool. But, and then they also are working on another anime. But I don't know all the validity on that one. But yeah, it's, to me, I think the silver lining, in my opinion, of this is that Disney knows that there are anime fans.
I don't know, man. I'm very excited, but at the same time, the mouse don't play around. So
yeah, who knows, bro? Like, and let's say, because I say it could be a good thing or a bad thing. It'd be a good thing, like, okay, we know there's an audience for it. We know that there are people who like it, and if they do it right, it could be something interesting. Or it could be bad, and they can just throw random anime projects out there, kind of like what Netflix does. Not saying every Netflix anime is bad, but y'all know what I mean. There's just some Netflix anime. For every good Netflix anime, there's like 9 others that are just like, they really greenlit this.
It do be like that. How about you, Travis? How do you feel about the whole rumor mill?
It's again mixed. Initially, when I saw that Netflix was going into the anime game, I was really excited because they're a streaming service that they release things in bulk. And it was going to be the first time that you can get really high quality anime and be able to binge it. And I was like, that's fantastic that a streaming service is bold enough and different enough to do something like that. And then the more that Netflix came out with these animes, there were some great hitters. And at the same time, like Mitsu was saying, there were some misses. And I don't want to see another streaming service take a whack at it. I think I'm tuckered out from the Netflix approach. And there's a part of me that I just don't want to see Disney, Netflix, and Crunchyroll fighting over this genre, fighting over rights. And I have to have all three to get to be up to date on all the anime that is really good out there. That's just frustrating. But at the same time, maybe Disney will be a good home for anime. Maybe they'll come out with a lot of good anime and it will be fine. But at the same time, there's just too many people that are jumping on the anime train. I miss the days when it was just Crunchyroll or Funimation. Like, I like the simplicity, but that's just my take on it.
I feel that. I totally feel that. I mean, it's definitely valid as a criticism and just, like, hope for the future, because it makes sense based on the track record. So, I don't know. Hopefully we can get the best of both worlds. That's just on my end.
Oh, goodness gracious.
All right, I think we have basically covered most of the big things that have happened besides the biggest movie on Hulu ever. That's crazy. We talked about it at the beginning. I think we've all seen it, right? We've all seen Prey?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see it, Travis, or no?
You did it?
I didn't see it yet.
Okay. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Definitely.
Definitely. This is for those of you that are fans of movie monsters or just like action movies in general, most of us know what Predator is, right? 1987, Arnold Schwarzenegger came out and dropped a banger. It's based on a alien that basically comes to Earth and tries to fight the apex predator in the planet that he is in. This is a prequel to it. It takes place in the 1700s. It is absolutely not tied to what Arnold and Carl Weathers did in the 80s. And I'm going to be straight up with what I personally feel. This is the best rendition of the Predator since the original. And it could even rival the original. It's on that Top Gun Maverick level. Like, this thing has set up the possibility of an anthology series just covering the Predator in different time periods, trying to prove himself. Because it didn't feel overpowered. It didn't feel invincible. It felt extremely strong. But the rationale behind it was to craft a story that had the Predator in it. It wasn't like a Predator-centric story, which was pretty cool, in my opinion. Like, it was centered around Amber Midthunder's character as well as the rest of the cast. This is the first Hollywood blockbuster to have an entire Native American cast. And it was still only released on Hulu. I think this deserved its spot in theaters. I think I gave it close to a 9 out of 10. It is that good. If you're an action movie fan, if you are a Predator fan, if you are a horror movie fan, this is a must watch. What did you think about the film, Mizu?
Honestly, before we talked about it a little bit before the pod started, but to let y'all know, I know about the Predator, but I never seen the Predator movies until I saw this, because I heard a lot about it, and I said, oh, might as well watch Prey. And I'm glad I watched it. It got me to the point where interested into watching the other Predator movies. So after seeing that one, I was like, you know what? I need to watch the original. I need to watch the 1987 one to see. And my personal favorite, maybe it's because I seen it first, I will give it to the Prey movie. I like the Prey movie more a little bit than the original. Love Arnold Schwarzenegger, but like that Prey was awesome. The setup too, I like how, you know, the first half is like mystery, like going on, and then the second half is when we realize what is going on, and then, you know, Predator ensues, and it's so awesome to see that. And I definitely agree with you, Jose. Like, this was like it revitalized a franchise that everybody was just like, every Predator movie after that was just trash. Some people have a soft spot for the Predator 2 movie, but like every other Predator after that is just bad. I watched the other ones too. I'm just like, you know what? It was bittersweet. I'm like, oh yeah, this Predator thing is pretty cool. Watch the other ones. I'm like, oh God, I can see why everybody likes this one a little bit more. Cause these other ones just don't work.
The second one was okay. Danny Glover did do a semi-decent job. I liked it, but I totally agree. Continue.
But yeah, I could definitely see this being an anthology series, because in one of the Predator movies, I don't remember which one, that they said that the Predator has been on planet Earth a lot and has encountered a lot. So I could see it different humans encountering from different eras handling a Predator situation. When people are already talking about like, oh, Predators versus Vikings, Predators versus Samurai, Predators versus all kinds of things. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, if they can get the storytelling right, it could work. But yeah, I think Prey was amazing. And the part I like about it is that everybody and their mother was like surprised how good it was. Like almost every critic who talked about it, like, they're like, all right, I'm not going to lie to you, I thought this movie was going to be ass, but this was actually pretty good. Everybody had no hopes and like, oh, great, they're trying to do the Predator thing. This is not going to work. And surprise, surprise, it worked.
Hey, Travis, if this is not an indication, you should definitely watch it. Let us know how you feel about it.
Look, I was sold already from just the news around it, where it's the highest grossing, the most watched thing on Hulu, period. That's an insane comment.
Accomplishment.
Insane accomplishment. And also, from you guys and everybody else, I have not heard really a bad thing about it. I heard that it was a home run. So I can't wait to watch it.
Yes, sir. Can't wait to hear about it. Is there anything else that you guys want to cover? Because I think we've pretty much covered most of the things that are coming out.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the possible DC lineup and Warner Brothers Discovery.
Oh. Take us there, man. Because I'm through talking about DC. I'm disappointed.
If you haven't already heard the news, they announced in Comic-Con what they're going to be doing. Or actually, no, they didn't release a date. Was it also in Comic-Con? It was both in Comic-Con and like what was like press releases or something like that, yeah, with their plan on what they're going to do with the DCEU. And being honest, it doesn't really look good. The only two movies that they brought up in Comic-Con, which everybody thought DC was going to blow out the park at Comic-Con, and they only showed us Shazam. What was it? Shazam, and there was another one that came out.
Black Adam.
Shazam and Black Adam were the main two highlights of it. We also got Super Pets, and that was it. That's all they gave us, which is so unfortunate too, because you know they could have talked about Aquaman, but you had that whole thing with Amber Heard. They could have talked about Flash, but you have that whole thing with Ezra Miller. It's just not looking.
They could have talked about Batgirl, but they decided to scrap the whole movie.
You have that. And then the whole Batgirl situation, where they announced that they canceled Batgirl. And mind you, they were in post-production. That means the film was pretty much finished. They had to do some touch-ups and stuff like that. But out of nowhere, they decided to cancel it. And their reasoning so far was that, well, at least what the director, not the the CEO said, what's his name? Zaloff?
Yeah.
He said that he wants all, his plan is to have all the DC movies like that. He wants them to be in theaters. He wants them to be
an
experience. He wants them to be big budget box office hits. And Batgirl was going to be, specifically an HBO Max exclusive movie. And so they decided to scrap it all together. And it wasn't just that, too. They also scrapped other unrelated HBO series movies and stuff like that. What'd you say?
Doom Patrol.
And then they scrapped Doom Patrol. They've been scrapping stuff left and right to the point where it's weird because you feel like nothing to say at all. I'm worried about them removing Harley Quinn. What if they remove Harley Quinn?
What if they remove
Young Justice? We just don't know what they're doing, and it's a little scary. Now I can see, now some people have different opinions on it. Some people have seen this as a hugely negative, like, oh, they're going a different direction with this. There's some people who see this as a positive because you're just like, don't get me wrong, Batgirl was cool and all, but we need to revitalize the DC universe. And how some people said it, I don't think it was Comics Historian. It was Variant Comics. He has a YouTube, he has a TikTok, and he talked about it. He's just like, they need to revitalize it, and you can't start the DC universe out without the big three,
mm-hmm,
Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. They're the cornerstone of DC, and they need to be the starters of DC. So at least that's what some people's logic is on it. And plus, they kind of made it clear in their little lineup of what they are important to them in their going forward HBO Max and their stuff. And they showed the symbols of Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman. Flash and all of them, so they are important to them. They said they're still going with Flash. They're still greenlit with Flash. They're still going forward. So far, that what I've heard. I could be wrong. They could come out tomorrow and be like, no, we're scrapping that too.
Yeah, but there's basically three. That one's the big one that I thought we could discuss. There's basically three ways that they deal with the Flash. It's one, Ezra Miller gets help, does a public apology, and then does limited press for the movie. The second one, I believe, is like they try to recast as much as possible, or like rework as much as possible of the movie prior to release. And then the third one is just scrapping the movie altogether. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's all on Ezra Miller right now.
I'm not going to lie. Going off of what we got in the trailer, the teaser, I think it looks like they're pulling a Flashpoint paradox with it.
Yeah.
It looks like they're taking elements from it. And so I'm assuming that they might do what happened at the end of Flashpoint paradox, and that maybe restarts the whole DC universe. Maybe, but we don't have full confirmation with that. Plus, they also, speaking of Flash, the Flash movie, they also canceled a future Supergirl movie that they were working on with one of the actresses who was going to be in the Flash movie, and they scrapped that movie.
Wow.
It's not looking good for DC fans. It's just not looking good at all. And the only highlights is, like I said, Shazam and Black Adam. And I hate to be Mr. Negative here, but who's to say those are going to be good? Mm-hmm. What if they're not?
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of criticism about The Rock being Black Adam. Just in physical appearance alone, I saw this scathing thing where they were like, look, you know, Black Adam, The Rock doesn't have an accent in it. It just looks like The Rock is cosplaying as Black mm-hmm. Adam, not actually incorporating a character, and blah, blah, blah. And truthfully, I just think that this is rough on the live action scene. I wish that DC would just focus more on animation. And the Batman.
Batman, great.
That perfect. You did it perfect. But Wonder Woman, Superman, just let's focus on the animation.
Speaking of Superman, another thing that people are upset about, because a lot of people are wondering, hey, are they going to be bringing back Henry Cavill? What's going on with Henry Cavill? Is he still Superman? Are we getting a new Superman? What's going on with that? And they announced nothing. And it was so bad to the point where when someone asked The Rock a question about that, like, hey, do you see yourself going against Henry Cavill or anything about Henry Cavill? And he's just like, oh, I don't know what's going on with that. He said, but I definitely do want to fight Superman. And he got booed. The Rock got booed, like, badly.
What?
And I don't think the boo was... I would argue that the boo wasn't necessarily his fault, but more of the response of, like, yo, where's Superman at? Where's our Superman? Where's Henry Cavill? Because people, even though his Superman was okay, I personally am not a fan of Zack Snyder's version of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Henry Cavill was a good Superman. He just needed a better written way of his character. But like, we don't know. We don't have no idea what's going on with that either. So
it's a mess. DC's live action lineup, it's just a mess. And it's a shame because they really killed it with the Batman. That is, in my opinion, that was the best iteration of Batman I've seen live action on screen. And it's not even close. From the acting to the cinematography to the score, everything was stupendous. So I just think that it's weird that they're not able to bring it. Even Peacemaker, like, they're doing live action well in other arenas. Why can't you do it well with Superman? Why can't you do it well with Green Lantern or, like, any of these other iconic characters?
Facts. I definitely agree with you. And the part that's even sadder is that, like we said in the last time, a couple pods ago, let's be honest, I love Marvel, but Superman is more popular. DC is more popular.
Yeah.
Iconic. Batman is more iconic. Superman, Wonder Woman, they are more iconic individuals. And to see them getting this kind of treatment with their stuff is, like, sad. Especially, and the part that's so sad, at least with me personally, is that I've been rewatching DC stuff because I'm mostly a Marvel fan. I'm both, but I lean towards Marvel. But then I've been watching DC stuff with my wife and stuff like that, and it revitalized my love for DC, especially Superman, and how much I love Superman, how much I definitely am in the camp of people don't get him, calling him boring and all that kind of stuff. And then when this stuff happened, I'm just like, oh, wait, I see why I'm a Marvel fan. Because this kind of stuff keeps happening. And, of course, you know, shout out to all the animated stuff with DC. They've been killing it so far, with the exception, apparently, Beware My Power didn't do so well with the Green Lantern with Jon Stewart. Apparently, that went so well at all. Like, it wasn't terrible, but, like, what I heard so far is that when it's based off Jon Stewart, and let's be honest, we haven't seen Jon Stewart on screen in anything for a hot minute now.
Yeah.
And mind you, that's the Green Lantern that a lot of people grew up with. And we haven't seen him for literally years.
Yeah.
And he finally gets his own animated movie and he's barely in it. Like, they got other Justice League members in the movie, like Green Arrow's in it, Hawk Woman is in it. I'm trying to remember who else is in it, but he's not the center of his own story. These guys get more shine in the movie than he does. Wow. And it just doesn't work. And it's sad because I was so aggravated when I saw it. I was like, dude, my favorite Green Lantern, one of my favorite heroes, and he's not the main character of it. And the story was okay.
I didn't even see it. I saw, like, a snippet of it, and I was avoiding it because I didn't want to be disappointed. And that sucks. That sucks to hear because I truthfully think that DC they're the creators of some of the best animated superhero movies and shows, period. Like, Young Justice to me is one of the best shows on that you can watch, period. So to really see them do like Green Lantern like that blows. That's crazy.
And it's so weird now that they're getting into the whole thing about, oh yeah, we're trying to look for our own Kevin Feige kind of person to lead this future of the DCEU and all that stuff. And I'm happy they finally get on that train, but I hope it doesn't take away from all their like standalone things, because in my personal opinion, the one thing that DC had the edge on compared to the MCU is that not everything was connected. You had some stuff that did connect together, and you had completely standalone stuff like the Batman, the Joker, all their animated stuff. They are all their own things, and they could breathe as their own things compared to the MCU, where everything is connected to a point where now Marvel, and even Kevin Feige himself even said it, how phase four and going forward and stuff like that, we're going to have some stuff that connects and some that doesn't. And people are already upset that things don't connect. Because, I mean, you already set it up that way. Obviously, you're going to have some detractors on it. And now they're trying to break away, and now they're having issues of, you know, breaking away. Mm-hmm. So I think that is one thing that was one of the highlights of DC, and I hope they keep that, even though they do plan on doing a connected story altogether with the future films, wherever that is. But I feel like, and I think they also, didn't they also announce their, like, they announced a 10-year plan. They announced a 10-year plan of what they have with their future projects and all that stuff. But here's the thing. Everybody's just hyped up, like, oh, yeah, we got this 10-year plan. I'm just like, guys, have we not learned from the past? Okay. They've done this before. They told us this before, that, oh, yeah, we have this 10-year plan with this. We have this plan for the future of DC. How those movies, if you go back to the original lineup they had, how those movies didn't even were created yet. It never happened. We were supposed to get a solo Ben Affleck Batman movie. That never happened. Mm-hmm. We never got some of the movies that they were saying they're going to do. We never got those. We were supposed to get a Teen Titans movie. Never got that either. So, and then they're doing it again. And it just goes to show how desperate DC fans are right now. They're like, oh, yeah, they got a plan now, guys. Look at that. I'm like, dude, don't fall for it again. Come on. Now, let's think about it.
The question is, do we just sell DC to Disney? Is the question.
Oh, my God. No, people have been saying about Kevin Feige, like, oh, Kevin Feige, please come to DC. I'm like, hey, don't put too much on that man's plate. That man's already stressed out as it is with what he has to do with that. Now you want him to work on something that's already like in shambles right now with DC? Oh, my man is going to be dead by the end of that.
Nah, dude. I feel like Kevin Feige, if he takes 10 more years, because he already planned the next 10 years. Like, let's say he takes the next 10 years out. He could retire as the best producer in movie history.
Yeah.
I think he already is. Like, honestly, still to this day, I think
the top grossing movies, half of them are Marvel. And then I was doing this video about Fist of North Star, and I was talking about how big franchises are, and half of them, I was looking up a list of franchises by the dollar, and half of them are Marvel. I'm like, and that's because of Kevin. I'm like, hey, Kevin is, man is worth the dollar. He's killing it. But speaking of which, what I said about the whole the person they're looking for to take on, you know, a Kevin Feige like position in DC, one of the people that has been rumored to be is the person which I'm worried about a little bit, is the person who spearheaded the Arrowverse.
Mm.
But granted, it is a rumor. I don't know 100% if that's true, but it said that he was being eyed. The person who was the producer and led the Arrowverse might be the person who's going to lead the DC films. And I'm conflicted on that, because the first season of all the Arrowverse shows, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But after that, things just go bad. Like, it's usually the first season is great, and then after that, it's like, no. I don't know.
Kevin Feige's box office. Do we want to take a guess at how much money his movies have made as a producer?
Definitely in the billions.
Yeah. 10 billion. I was going to say 10 billion. I'll go 20 billion. Let's do 20 billion.
$26.8 billion.
Holy crap.
He's probably the most prolific, and I don't know about, like, the thing is, best is very
Subjective.
Very subjective, because you have like Ron Howard, George Lucas, Robert Zemeckis, like all those, like Steven Spielberg. But like, he just don't miss, bro. He just don't miss. He does not miss. He's been the executive producer for what, over what is it? Okay, 2, 5, 8, 12, 15, 20, over 30 movies. Wow. And they've all been bangers. They've all, or like monetarily wise. It's been great. It's crazy. It's crazy. And he's still, an executive producer on, he's an executive producer on all of the Disney Plus things.
Wow.
So
yeah,
he's on movie and TV. So that's crazy.
That's insane. And I mean, it makes a lot of sense, because like I said, I was doing a video on Fist of North Star, and I was looking up like, oh, biggest franchise. And one of the facts I learned about Fist of North Star is that apparently, did you know that Fist of North Star, by the way, is worth $14.8 billion?
What?
I don't know what they do. How? I don't know what they do.
I was like, that's what I said. I was looking at that like, how on earth? Part of it has to do with something else, but I can see it in my future video. But it's crazy. And I was looking at other franchises that were huge like that. And like, yeah, half of it was Marvel. Half of it. Spider-Man No Way Home alone was on the list. I was like, that's a movie. That's not just like, that's insane.
wait. Fist of North Star is $12.6 billion? No,
$14.8 billion. It's worth more. Think about it. It's worth more than the Bond franchise. The Bond franchise is worth $14.2 billion. Just a little bit over. And apparently, yeah, the Bond franchise as a whole has nothing apparently on Fist of North Star, an anime that came out in 1983.
But there's been no, like, there's been no merch. There's been no, when did it make $14 billion worth?
You'll be surprised how it made it. You'll be surprised. If you get the chance to look it up, you'll be surprised the money that Fist of North Star makes.
What?
And the part of it, I'll give you this. The part of it has to do with casinos.
What? Wait, you know what? Okay, I'm watching your next video. That's insane.
I'm not gonna lie. I was trying to do a little appreciation video of Fist of North Star, but when I looked that up, it intrigued the hell out of me. That I was like, no, I need to do some just facts on Fist of North Star alone. This is insane.
The craziest anime fact that I learned, right, is that out of all the franchises ever, the second most profitable franchise is Hello Kitty. Okay.
Yes.
But here's the absolutely freaking bananas part of that, right? So Hello Kitty is the number two of all time. Mm-hmm. The amount of people that went to go see the movie of Hello Kitty, there was only like two movies. There was one theatrical release. It's under 50 worldwide. The second largest franchise in history, ever. Less than 10,000 people saw it globally. Like, that's absolutely nuts.
Gosh. Of course, we all know what number one is.
Gotta catch them all, baby!
Easily.
I remember Pokemon was like, how much Pokemon was like in...
$118 billion.
Oh, yeah.
$18 billion. Wow.
Less than half of that. Less than half is from the video games. 91 of those billions are just through licensed merchandise, bro. Keychains and plushies and little statues. And shit.
I got into a heated live. It didn't mean to be heated, but we talked about, someone asked me in my live on TikTok, who is the face of anime? And I said, oh yeah, hands down, it's Goku. I said Goku because like, literally, when you think of it, like when there are people who've never seen Dragon Ball, when you show them a picture of him, they'll be like, oh, that's Goku. I said, people were arguing Naruto and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, sure. But then when someone said, what about Pikachu? I was like,
yeah. Pikachu's the answer, bro. Like, whenever even in like, I don't know if it varies by community or whatever, but like, even like old ass grandmas in PR and like Latin America, they'll be like, like you talk about like any sort of monster or any sort of like, take care of that Pikachu over there and just like take it out of the screen. Bro, they all refer to everything that like is not real as just like a Pikachu. And I'm like, bro, the fact that they don't even know, they probably don't even know what Pikachu looks like, and they know like they know it by name though, is ridiculous. I mean, Pikachu was the face of the Olympics. It was Mario and Pikachu. That's ridiculous.
That is
insane. They and I remember even with Goku, Japan made Goku like
an ambassador.
like an ambassador. that it was insane. But yeah, that you'd be surprised how much some of these franchises that you haven't heard in a while and stuff like that just make money. Yeah, that again, that Fist of North Star fact blew me away. Blew me away. I'm like, there's nothing new that's out. Like, how on earth did it maintain? How is it in the top 20 biggest franchises in the world?
Yeah, that doesn't make any. No, to the second, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. At all whatsoever.
Everybody else on that list made sense. And then I saw that. I'm like, what? Are you serious?
It do be crazy, bro.
Pokemon really made $118 billion. That's more than Harry Potter, the Marvel Universe combined.
That's still less money than Jeff Bezos has, which is ridiculous. Even more ridiculous to think.
Bezos makes more money than the Pokemon franchise.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Can you imagine being? And it just makes me think to yourself, like, yo, it made this much money, and this all came from one individual's idea. Like, you know what? I'm going to make these colorful monsters that all they can do is say their name and people just have
to catch. You can collect them.
Like, yeah, you can collect them. I'm going to make cards of it. And then biggest thing in the world. Can you imagine being that person, that fool, that idiot back in there? Like, oh, this is never going to make it. What are you talking about? What is going on here? I bet that person is kicking themselves. I would be furious. I would be absolutely furious if I was me. I'm like, oh my god, I missed out on something that could be amazing because of that.
I feel that. All right, gents, I feel like we've covered everything. Do you guys want to say anything else, or do you guys have anything else on your mind?
One very last thing. So one of the criticisms I heard about Phase 6 with the ending of the two Avengers movies is that this is the first time ever we're getting two Avengers movies in the same year, potentially. Do you feel like too much that they should space it out, or that having two Avengers movies in the same phase is fine?
Here's the thing. At first, I thought we already did that with Infinity Wars and Endgame. Because didn't Infinity Wars and Endgame come out in the same year?
They came out 1 year apart. Like,
oh yeah, 1 year apart. My bad. And then I was thinking of my bad. It was Black Panther, and then literally a couple months later, we got Infinity War already. I'm like, wow, that's pretty fast. but yeah, that is insane that we're getting two Avengers movies in 1 year. And it goes into that bigger conversation of a lot of people are having is the oversaturation. There's so much Marvel content. And if you think about it, you look back at that list, that's all in a span of 2 years. And that's not counting all whatever's going to be else in Phase 6.
Yeah.
And that's all in a... And but even then, it's crazier. Look back what we got in Phase 4. We got Shang-Chi. We got Eternals. We got No Way Home. Multiverse of Madness. Thor, Love and Thunder, and now Black Panther. And that's not counting the shows. We got all that in a year time span. So it's... A lot of people are feeling overwhelmed. Like, yo, like you guys can space it out. You don't have to push it all out. Because think about it. We had Shang-Chi. After Shang-Chi was over, we got... was WandaVision already out before that? Yeah, WandaVision. And then we got Shang-Chi. And after Shang-Chi, literally a month later or two, we got Loki. And then after Loki, we got Eternals. And then after Eternals, we had Hawkeye. No Way Home. And it was just like, oh, like there's all this stuff going on. Thor, Love, and Thunder was literally, what, a month or two ago? And now we're getting She-Hulk and then Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
So I'm in the camp that, well, I'll say this. I am not in the group who thinks that Phase 4 is bad or like, oh, Phase 4. Because I'm seeing all these videos and YouTube videos of people saying, oh, the problem with Phase 4. Why Phase 4 sucks? There's so many videos of people complaining about Phase 4 and how bad it is. Like, I'm not in that camp. I think that it is solid. There are good parts and bad parts of it. Some parts that didn't work and things that are great. But the one thing I do agree with this conversation is, like, there's a lot of content. There's a lot of content. And my other gripe with it is that, especially with the shows, that I'm not a big fan of this 6-episode structure. Because it feels like it feels rushed, and at the same time, it feels like there's stuff that could have been more explained. And some of the shows kind of feel, in my personal opinion, a little dry at the end. So I'm like, oh, I mean, we could have gotten more with this, but I guess not. But which is why a lot of people got excited with the whole Daredevil having 18 episodes compared to the 6. So, but yeah, the oversaturation is my biggest deal. And I think this could have been expanded out into 4 years. I wouldn't have mind that. We don't need to because think about it. Back then we had what? No more than like 2 or 3 movies of Marvel that came out within a year.
We had 11 this year.
We had 11 this year. Think about that.
11 projects this year. That's crazy.
Jeez.
Dang. And of course, you know that feeling of you have to watch the show. Because I have a friend of mine who doesn't have a Disney Plus account, but he feels like overwhelmed because now he has to feel like he has to watch these shows to go see the movies and understand them. And like, if you don't watch the movies, you might not understand what's going on and things like that. And yeah, it just feels like a lot. It feels like a lot's going on, but that's just me.
I feel that. Well, hey, let's see what happens because we still have a ton of content yet to enjoy. So I think that's been all it from us. We're going to post this out on the Weeb Weekly socials, whether it be Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever else you want to consume your podcast. We will be there. We will also be posting clips. And obviously, you can find this on our YouTube as well. As always, have fun, everybody. We will see you on the next one.